This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
In space, no one can hear you scream. On Joy 94.9, it's a different story. Sci-fi and Spleen, Thursday nights, 11 to 1, on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9 with Kaz and Albert. We've been discussing Australian influences of science fiction and horror.
And the track we heard just before was Aliens by Alex Lloyd. That's from his debut album, Black the Sun.
Very appropriate.
It is very appropriate. I haven't seen any aliens before, and we don't really do the crop circles thing in Australia.
No. Although there were Signs with Mel Gibson, which is an American that was born in America but raised in Australia. So
another one of those tentative links.
You can stretch it as far as you can.
Oh, and people will. So there's another Australian link for you. We've got them coming at you left and right tonight.
Yes.
Sci-Fi and Squeam, and we're celebrating Australia Day just a tad early.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come out with a few reasons tonight as to why Australia is the perfect setting for a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
Reason number two, dangerous animals.
We're rife with them.
We really are. And as we're fond of telling our cousins across the globe, Australia is a pretty dangerous place to live. I mean, that's why those of us who do live here are so blokey and tough and hard and ochre beauty.
Yeah.
We can handle it.
We carry our knives around with us.
That's it. It's not for everyone.
No.
But in all seriousness, there are some very deadly animals playing house in this country. On land, we have some of the world's most venomous and aggressive snakes, including the taipan, the brown snake and the tiger snake. And their smaller poisonous colleagues are the spiders, like the redbacks, and my least favourite, which is the funnel web, which is apparently so poisonous and aggressive that it just keeps coming after you. You have to kill it. You can't just flick it off.
It's very aggressive. It will just,
exactly.
Won't relent.
And Christ, the tourists must say. We're going to spend as much time off the land as we possibly can. Let's go swimming.
Yeah, of course.
Big mistake, people.
Really?
Off the coasts of Australia swim such creatures as the great white shark, the tiger shark, the box jellyfish or irukandji, and the blue ring octopus. Also paddling in our blue waters are the estuarine crocodiles.
Uh-huh.
Now, they can live in fresh or salt water and can also traverse land, so nowhere is safe.
Oh, yeah. They'll jump out at you.
That's it. They really will. But surely you say, I can safely walk along the shores of the beaches, collecting shells and hefting stones for the sandcastles that I'm building for those funnel web spiders. No. One of Australia's deadliest creatures is the stonefish. That's right. Even fish can kill you in Australia.
Yes.
That take it seriously. They look like large rough stones, hence the name, and their venom can cause shock, paralysis and tissue death, sometimes resulting in the need for amputation of limbs.
Oh, yummy.
So we've already seen films come out in Australia like Rogue, which took a sensible and balanced look at crocodiles, much in the same way that Jaws did with sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time that other animals were put in the limelight. So let's see an arachnophobia remake around redbacks.
Yes.
Let's see a film, maybe something called Deadly Floaters, The Killer Jellyfish.
You add the killer jellyfish onto the end of that.
Just so people don't get confused.
Yeah, we don't want
some. We don't want to draw that kind of crowd.
Yeah.
And let's not forget those boxing kangaroos, the killer cassowaries,
yes,
and the poisonous drop bears.
The drop bears, they haunt my dreams every night. Yeah.
Absolutely. You do not want to have to encounter one of those buggers. Fight them off.
Yeah.
They look cute and cuddly. But they're not.
And then they sometimes take the guise of the Bundaberg polar bear.
Yes. Watch out for that polar bear.
He seems laid back and he'll hand you a Bundy, but
once he gets you drunk.
Oh yeah, he'll drop on you.
He will. And have you seen the size of that bugger? He'll take you out.
Oh yes.
So that's not the only urban legend.
No, it's not. The drop bears, they could be classified as an urban legend, but they're more just kind of a joke to play on unsuspecting tourists.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we love it.
But the basis of reality of the Saw films and the Wolf Creek, that's where things like urban legends stem from. There's no supernatural or paranormal villain causing these acts in these films. The murders and mind games that play out are being committed by seemingly normal people. They could be the neighbour next door that you never speak to. The isolation and sparse population of outback Australia adds to our natural fear of strangers. And with these urban legends, the folklore storytelling that gets passed on from person to person plays on our fears of horrors that could possibly be true. The anonymous killer that picks their victims at random, the contaminated food that is being mass distributed by large corporations, or the poisonous insects that lay eggs in your cheeks at night.
Ew.
There's lots of urban legends spreading around the internet and email, and now with the plethora of social media sites available, these urban legends can be spread like wildfire and can reach all corners of the world in a matter of hours before they are deemed to be a hoax. Of course, there was the film in 1998 called Urban Legend that dealt with quite a few of these well-worn tales, more specifically the ones ending in gruesome deaths. Some notable ones that seem like they've been passed on across at least two generations include The Kidney Heist, where tourists on holiday are drugged and then wake up to find themselves in a bathtub filled with ice. A note on the wall instructs the traveller to call the police before their kidneys have been harvested by organ thieves who sell them on the black market.
It's one of my favourites.
Oh, yeah. No, I fall for things quite easily. I admit that I'm quite gullible, and it did strike fear in my heart when I heard that, you know, possibly this could be true, because let's face it, humans are a valuable commodity, and I'm sure black markets overseas would like our organs very much.
They really would.
Then there was also the backseat murderer, where a creepy petrol station attendant convinces a female driver to get away from her car because a serial killer is stowed away in the backseat of her car waiting for her to start driving again.
Albert, you're going to have to walk me to the parking lot after the show, because they still... I know it's not true.
Yeah.
It still freaks me out.
Oh, I know. That's kind of always freaked me out. It's like, that's... Even, you know, of course, before I was driving, it's always, we need to check the back seat. We need to make sure that no one's in the car.
I actually do that, though.
You do that still?
And I don't know if it's, you know, if there is ever a chance for someone. I mean, obviously, it could happen.
Yes.
But I don't think it's an axe-wielding murderer.
No, that's right. In this movie and across the internet, there's a lot of urban legends that are based around cars and driving and running people off the road, or hooks being held onto
the handle of the car.
Yep. And, you know, it goes on. There's a boyfriend that's being hung off a tree and scraping the top.
The girl doesn't know what the sound is.
Yes.
And the boyfriend's told her not to leave the car, but she can hear the noise. And oh my God.
She stays there all night with this scratching and the dripping sound, which is the boyfriend's blood dripping on top of the car.
We used to scare, like when you're kids, you just scare each other stupid with these stories.
Yes, yeah. And like that was kind of how you pass the time. It's
absolutely,
we didn't have the internet. We needed to entertain ourselves somehow.
In the good old days.
Yes, yes. So the innovation of the internet and email has certainly allowed people to try to at least think critically about these stories. And
definitely,
there's certainly a lot of scams around that people still fall for, but the urban legends where they kind of play on your fears of random murderers, they're not as kind of prevalent nowadays. Back in 2001, there was a hoax that was passed around through email before, you know, Wikipedia became famous and, you know, we all went there for our factual information. There was emails being spread around about things called bonsai kittens, where a Japanese man in New York was selling equipment that allowed you to preserve live kittens in a bottle by removing the urine and feces of these kittens through probes and feeding them chemicals through a tube so that their bones stay soft and flexible as they grow into the shape of the bottle. It was, I guess, deemed as art, but of course people fell for it and they, you know, up in arms about this animal cruelty. And with this email, they did send out a website, which unfortunately has been taken down now, but I'm sure you can still find out saved pages of bonsai kittens. But the website made it so very easy for us to believe what came in our inboxes without any need to verify the accuracy of these hoaxes. And at a similar time, there was also the hoax that was based around the 2001 Australian census. The concept was pretty simple. If more than 10,000 people put down a religion that isn't officially on the census form, it becomes a fully legal and recognised religion. So the email was sent around to us asking atheists or any Star Wars fans to put down Jedi, because once you're a member of the Jedi religion, you automatically become a Jedi Knight.
Of course.
Yes, yes. So yeah, there's no need for the Force or lightsabers. It's just, you know, you write down your name, write down that word.
The power of bureaucracy.
Yes, yes. All these forms, and it's all so official. So unfortunately, that was a hoax as well. And if anyone actually went through with it and you were caught out, it was supposed to attract a $1,000 fine for providing false information on the census.
Hey, it's just as believable as any of those other religions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't true, it was a bit of fun, and I'm sure some people out there did put down Jedi.
I love that. It's that, you know, it's that Australian sense of humour that kind of is shared by the rest of the world as well.
Yes, we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Not at all. And we don't take ourselves too seriously on Sci-Fi and Squeam either.
No, we don't. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. with Kaz and Albert. And that track that we just played before
was Cemetery by Silverchair. So we're playing a little bit of Australian music for you tonight.
Yes.
Thought we'd keep it in with the theme. And it's surprising how many Australian artists write sort of music with slightly
creepy, dark
themes to it. Mm. That particular track, it escapes my memory at the moment, the album that it came from. But Silverchair have had their fair share with songs like Freak, Cemetery.
Early stages of emo, but now they're a little bit different.
Just a tad.
Yes,
a little bit different. Daniel Johns has definitely moved on to sort of slightly different.
Slightly poppier
horizons.
Sounds.
Poppier, dance, electro sort of sounds.
And we've got your horoscopes for this week, don't we, Kaz?
We do.
Capricorn, the Southern Cross, tribal tramp stamp or Chinese character tattoo that you got last Anzac Day is starting to change colour. Brown and grey are okay, but when it starts turning hot pink or neon green, it's time to put on your tinfoil hat.
Aquarius, a windfall awaits you this month. Make sure you capitalise on this by buying a Tats lotto ticket or tailing one of those commercial radio station Jeeps. A mountain of free icy cold cans of Coke could be coming your way.
Oh yeah. Pisces, you're only just getting over the white sea of bodies at that sensational party on New Year's. You survived the overdose of last year's designer drug, but the beer at your next gathering will be homebrew that you're best to steer clear of.
Aries, if you're going to a party this Australia Day, make sure the snags, shrimp and lemon stollies are all within their use-by date. With Jupiter in the third house, you might want to pack some buscapan just in case.
Taurus, there has been some bitching going on behind your back amongst the members of your Kings of Leon tribute band. Remember to carry around a spare bottle or two in case you need to defend yourself against some glass-related violence.
Gemini, the long-running feud between Ford and Holden will be resolved this month. Craig Lowndes is looking to a successful season, but the stars have already shone their favour upon the chosen one. Gentlemen, start your engines.
Cancer, your obsession with Ed Hardy merchandise is getting out of hand. The clothes, the perfume, and even the energy drinks won't do you much harm, but the new alarm clocks and electric mixers are bound to spontaneously explode.
Leo, the fortunes smile upon you this month. Your luck is unlikely to run out. Make the most of it by wrestling crocodiles, swimming in shark-infested waters, and eating Chico rolls with abandon. Nothing can touch you.
Virgo, the weather will be perfect for an Australian Day barbecue. Invite over as many people as you can, even that creepy neighbour of yours. But when he brings along some funky-smelling lamb, be sure to check that your pets are safe and sound.
Libra, the stars warn of a health risk this month. Be careful in the sun. You risk first-degree or English backpacker-style burns. And watch the alcohol consumption. Too little and you risk the disdain of those around you. Too much and you could be explaining to a police officer exactly why you thought it was a good idea to raid the set of Dancing with the Stars in your underwear.
Scorpio, what better way to spend your Christmas bonus than on a budget holiday to Bali? Book your discount flights online, pack your three pairs of Crocs, your seven cans of fake tan, and that boogie board bag full of dope. Don't worry, lightning rarely strikes twice.
And Sagittarius, just one word of advice. If you're planning to go to the cricket this summer, duck.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9 with Kaz and Albert.
That's right. And that track was Red Right Hand by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. And that's taken off the Songs in the Key of X soundtrack, which was the X-Files soundtrack. And I remember Red Right Hand. Yeah, I remember hearing it played and thinking, okay, that's Nick Cave. And such a great show, The X-Files.
Yes, yes. We might possibly do a show about The X-Files or Chris Carter creations in the future. We've been talking about kind of Australian culture and how it shapes kind of horror and science fiction, talking about Australian authors and movies like Wolf Creek and the Saw franchise, and a little bit about urban legends as well.
That's right. And we've also been talking about why Australia is such a great place to set a horror film.
Yes.
Reason number three. Australia is a big, hot country. It's a wide, brown land. Let's look at the stats. Australia is approximately 7,617,930 square kilometres in size. Mm-hmm. The coastline around the mainland measures 34,218 kilometres. Most of the country is semi-arid or desert. The population of Australia in 2010 is estimated at 22 million. Now, that's a pretty big number. But the US is about the same size geographically, but holds around 14 times the amount of people. Sounds a bit of a,
yes,
bit of a disparity there.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that there are entire uninhabited stretches of nothing, which is the perfect setting for a The Hills Have Eyes style story.
Mm-hmm.
On a more serious note, as we've already discussed, films like Wolf Creek, which sort of play on the Peter Falconio murder and the Ivan Milat backpacker murders, play on or enhance the perception that Australia is not only isolated from the rest of the world, but that once you leave the cities, you're at serious risk. When honestly, the worst thing that can happen is wandering into a place out of that film Welcome to Whoop Whoop. Australia is a large place with few truck stops, petrol stations or Starbucks in the middle of it. So if you do head out, make sure you plan your trip well so that you don't die of thirst or heat exhaustion.
Or run out of petrol.
Or run out of petrol.
Yes, that's kind of plays on the fear of broken down car in the middle of nowhere, which...
That's it. No one's going to come and get you. You'd be lucky if somebody comes to get you.
Yes.
You better hope they've got water.
And you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream with Kaz and Albert tonight, where we're celebrating Australia Day a little bit early. So we're talking about Australian horror and science fiction and how the kind of the isolated landscape of our country plays on our fears of things that could possibly be real and the urban legends surrounding the hoaxes and the scams that people fall for so easily.
Absolutely. And we've also been playing a little bit of Australian music with a slightly horror, sci-fi, fantasy kind of bent to it.
Yes.
And that last track was Savage Garden to the Moon and Back, which was one of the big early hits for them.
Yeah.
Probably didn't have a big scientific base around it, to be honest.
Other than the moon,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, other than going to the moon and back. I think it was just using it as some kind of metaphor.
Yeah. Oh, those Savage Garden boys.
I know, whatever, Darren Hayes.
We've been talking the different aspects of Australia and what makes it such a good setting for science fiction or horror. And the fourth reason we're going to talk about is the sport culture in Australia. Australians, we are reliably informed, is sports crazy, mad for it. This makes our country the perfect setting for some sports-inspired horror films. AFL. It's a rough and tumble kind of game. How about AFL, but with zombies? Someone jumps up to take a mark, but instead of grabbing the ball, they get the opposing player's head. The game continues with shabby, headless corpses and drooling, stumbling zombies all over the place until finally someone kicks the head straight through the middle of those two tall sticks. The zombie umpire raises one arm, the other has been chewed off at quarter time. Goal! Cricket. By day, the Australian cricket team are an affable bunch of larrikins. Sure, there's a bit of light-hearted sledging, but it's all in good fun. By night, they flip their baggy greens around, slick on the Oakleys, and stalk the streets hunting vampires. That's right. They knock those pale, clammy bloodsuckers for six with bats, specially equipped with razor-sharp edges. And of course, after a hard night's work, they kick back with a couple of crownies. Rugby league. They run in packs, they stalk young women in the dead of night. They're big, they're hairy, and they slobber. That's it, and I suppose at a stretch, we could make them all werewolves too if we clean them up a bit.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. We're trying to play Where Wild Roses Grow by Kylie Minogue and Nick Cave.
Yes, but unfortunately, it's not working very
well. It's
not
working for us, that's fine.
That's okay.
But it's an interesting track.
Yeah, and I really liked that video clip. It's quite dark.
It's quite ethereal, yeah.
In the water, and it's one of the softer sides of Kylie Minogue. You know, she doesn't all do just spinning around and dancing in hot pants all the time. It was kind
not
of
that
a,
she's not good at that.
No, but, no, I'm sure she is, but she does have the other sides, like that video clip. Escapes my memory now, but where she's Indie Kylie or
yes, I do remember that one. Is it Confide in Me?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, where she's standing in front of the she's getting mug shots taken of all her different personalities.
You did it again.
Oh, that's right. That was the track that we were trying to play there.
That's right, Where Wild Roses Grow, and it tells the story of these two lovers, and in the end, he kills her. Of course.
Yes.
Another case of domestic violence.
As you do. You love someone, you set them free and kill them.
Well, that's it. I thought we might give a bit of a nod to our friends across the ditch in New Zealand by playing a track off one of the big Antipodean films of the last decade or so.
Yes.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yes.
Big films, obviously, did very well, very enjoyable, and had great soundtracks as well.
Yes, a lot of Australian actors in that.
Absolutely. Yep. Lots of Australians who may have been born in other countries, but God damn it.
We're going to claim them.
We will absolutely claim them.
Yes.
So we thought we'd play a track off the Two Towers soundtrack, and this is Gollum's Song.
You've been listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9 with Albin and Kaz.
That's right, and you just heard Gollum's Song from the Two Towers soundtrack. Two Towers was the second film in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and listening to that track again, sung beautifully by Emiliana Torini, makes me want to go back and watch the film all over again.
You need to spend a whole weekend going through that trilogy.
That's right, and that was just a nod to our cousins across the ditch in New Zealand.
Yes, we're always thinking about them, even on Australia Day.
That's right, because there are so many Kiwis in Australia.
Yes.
Celebrate along with us.
Yes, we welcome you with open arms. So that's what our theme has been for this week's show, Australia, and how it's shaped this culture of sci-fi and horror in this big brown land of ours. Next week, we're going to be discussing games. You know, we've talked a lot about films, books, television out of our shows, but there's a whole another world of fantasy, science fiction and horror that is explored in through the media of games. So we're going to be having a couple of interviews, hopefully with Helen Stuckey from Acme, and also Moggy from Elite Rainbow Rafflecopter, who will try to get a gamer's perspective from him and see kind of what games he's been playing, and also talk a little bit about how the censorship in Australia has affected, certainly kind of media presented on radio, but also kind of the rating systems of games and how we don't actually have an R rating classification.
No, and it's become an increasingly important issue
for
gamers.
Yeah.
And also for people who just damn well don't like that kind of censorship,
I suppose. Of course. I mean, people love their games, and there's one of the diehard fan bases, one of the most diehard fan bases you can get. To restrict a whole area of entertainment just because they haven't fixed their classification system in Australia, it's doing an injustice to adults' intelligence, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be talking about next week, and we'll be lucky to have those special guests on board.
And thank you for all your messages and emails.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Yes. It was a pleasure, as always. Join us again next week. We're going to go out with a track tonight from The Avalanches. It's called Frontier Psychiatrist, and it's got some pretty freaky shit of its own going on in there.
Oh,
so
getting excited.
We'll say goodnight.
Good night.
Sci-Fi and Squeam was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia, Albert and Kaz. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Squeam, or check out joy.org.au.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.